Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Punch me right now, but you won't.
Why don't you punch me in the face?
Punch me in the face!
Hey, Derek, you know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my...
In this league.
We are back in Welsh Free, everybody. And that is because I am bringing on our friend. Really, he's more my friend. But our friend, Dan Vespris from HoopBall.com. And that's hoop-ball.com. You can find him on the Twitter machine, at Dan Vespris. He has, I mean, how many podcasts are you up to over there now? Because you
finally broke the
Lakers one. How many do you have?
Well, I broke my streak of consecutive shows. So I feel like that was actually really good for my overall health. Different shows, it's really just two this time of year, the fantasy show and the Lakers show. But, you know, five, six, seven shows a week for the most part. You got to stay fresh, you know, you got to keep the pipes loose.
That's right. And, you know, being an L.A. guy, that means you're a Dodgers fan. So how does it feel to be in second place?
This is quite a race, isn't it?
Oh, my God. It's every other day, isn't it? Like, it's, you know, I'm a big Reddit guy. I'll go on Reddit all the time. And every other day, the Diamondback subreddit says, hey, we're back in first place. Upvote party.
Yeah. So, you know, for me, Dodgers was kind of what I grew up on. L.A. guy, Vin Scully, idol, the whole thing. It's mostly why I ended up in broadcasting. And almost every broadcaster from Los Angeles has that same story. So that's why I rushed through it a little bit. But it's kind of fun now not working in minor league baseball to actually watch big league games and get to enjoy them. And this is a heck of a race. I know the Dodgers and D-backs haven't played since very early this season when the Dodgers were awful, like 10 games under 500. There could be some really interesting games coming up in the NL West. You've got even the Rockies are OK, although I guess they've been slumping a little bit. You got me
Giants
started.
Giants are pretty good, too.
Ah, the heck with the Giants. I think we can all agree on that, right?
Well, absolutely. And the Rockies. All I'm saying is they're not completely out of it. You know, it's one of those things where when you look at 50 games and then you look at 100 games and then you look at 150 games, it is completely different. You know
There's
what I mean?
So many games. There's so many games. I love baseball, but 162 is absurd.
I mean, there's literally half as many basketball games, and that's actually what we're here to talk about.
Oh, right, basketball.
Is basketball, and it's funny to me, you know, that you go on and Yahoo opened up, I believe they opened up for football in, like, March. So they were, like, ready to go, because the other day I'm, you know, prepping for this show, and I take a look, and I'm like, Yahoo's got to be open. Like, it's, you know, August, September, October. We're 2.5 months away. Not even that. So I go and I look, and absolutely not. They have not put in the infrastructure for basketball at all yet. Does that kind of thing annoy you, that football gets so much more than everything else?
Yeah, it does. But you get used to it. You know, I mean, football is king. I know they've been going through their harder times, and some of the other sports are trying to chase them down a little bit. But all the gambling money is still with football, and that sort of dictates how things work. When there's more money on one thing, that's the thing that's going to get all the attention. So it's fine. America loves football. Basketball has become this worldwide phenomenon. It's a year-round league, and it's growing. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know why Yahoo can't get their act together on that one, because Fantrax has got their thing going, and I think ESPN even put out some rankings, but come on, Yahoo, let's go. That's pretty much where all my leagues are. Can I please sign into them?
Yeah, I mean, I've been steadily making the switch to Fantrax. So we'll get to that a little bit later in the next hour because it is a Welsh Free 2 hours coming up here, everybody. So you get to talk about basketball with me and Dan for an hour, and then college fantasy football for an hour. You guys are going to love it. I promise. Stick around. Listen to it. You will absolutely love it. But let's hit some NBA stuff. The NBA draft happened, and I haven't talked to you since the NBA draft happened. This is amazing. I kind of went into a hole for a couple weeks after the Rockets lost to the Warriors. I'm sure you know that. But the NBA draft happened, Dan, and I know you are the fantasy Rick Carlisle. So you despise rookies. But is your opinion changing a little bit? Because we had some good performances last year. You know, Ball wasn't good the whole year, but he was good the back end. Tatum was good. Markkanen made an impact. Obviously, Donovan Mitchell, DSJ, Ben Simmons in his, you know, quote-unquote rookie season. So are you changing your tune a little bit on rookies?
No, full Rick Carlisle. All the core. I know they say you never go full Rick Carlisle, but I am 100% there. The thing is, and you mentioned a few really interesting rookies, like Jason Tatum was a guy who people didn't really expect to have the kind of season that he did. Donovan Mitchell, likewise. The rookies that ended up making really strong fantasy impacts were still drafted really late. And I think that's the key to take away from this stuff. The rookies that are going into the fantasy season are generally the ones you want to avoid. They get overhyped based on summer league, based on preseason activity, based on name, based on draft position in the actual NBA draft. And they almost always underperform. I think we've had just a couple of exceptions. Karl Anthony Towns being probably the most recent example of a rookie that got drafted pretty high and actually was better than that. The other names that you can bring up, like you said, Dennis Smith Jr., he ended up having a pretty awful fantasy season aside from a couple weeks, and then they rested him because of a knee thing. Lauri Markkanen, a guy that ended up getting drafted really late or not at all, kind of that same boat where, right, you know, Nico Mirotic doesn't get his face mooshed in. Do we even hear about Markkanen until the midway point? John Collins.
6.5 minutes, by the way, Dan. That's how long it took for you to get in a Nico.
I can't talk about him as much this coming season because now everybody knows about him. You know, John Collins, another guy that was kind of partway through the year, picked up. Jared Allen late in the season. Kyle Kuzma, sort of better in reality than fantasy. He ended up being more of kind of a one-trick pony. So to me, and that's why I've sort of stuck to my Rick Carlisle-like guns on this one, the odds of hitting on a rookie are really, really low. And where I would say, yeah, you know, you take a shot is later in the draft, or if it misses, it doesn't really cost you very much.
And I guess kind of piggybacking on that, is there a point in the season where it's better to pick up a guy? Are you more likely to draft a guy at the end or pick up a rookie guy that is going to wind up moving into a spot because of an injury or a trade or something like that?
I tend to be of the try to pick it up mid-season ilk, and that'll cost me. You know, that meant that I basically wasn't going to have Jason Tatum this year because he was generally drafted at the very end. But, you know, like a Donovan Mitchell, he was generally on the waiver wire coming out of the draft.
It's hard to believe at this
isn't
point,
it?
You know? God.
You look, that's how it was. He was generally undrafted. I know he went, you know, ultra late in some drafts, but most of mine, he didn't. So, yeah, these guys are usually on the waiver wire, the ones that end up making an impact. And then you're not tied to a rookie having growing pains or whatever you want to call it early in the season. That's just kind of anchoring one roster spot down on your fantasy team.
And I'm becoming more of the curmudgeon-y, you know, guy on rookies. And I'm not full Bespris. But I'm getting there just because, like, I keep looking at these situations and going, well, how's that guy not going to play? Well, because he's young, he's not going to play. You know what I mean? I keep looking at the last couple of years. I've been like, man, you know, De'Aaron Fox, the Kings have nothing. They have literally nothing. And then I'll ask Brewski, and Brewski will be like, come on, man, don't do it. And I'm like, I'm going to do it every year. But this year, I'm finally out. I'm not going to take Marvin Bagley, so he will definitely win Rookie of the Year. Now that I'm all the way out on him.
Right. You know, as soon as you flip, that's when it's going to go back the other direction. I still think that overall, you're going to be happy joining me in this angry old man circle that we're creating, where we spend evenings screaming at clouds and reminiscing about the good old days. And, snow and uphill walks and so forth. But percentage-wise, that's what it really comes down to in my head. Percentage-wise, using your fifth, sixth, seventh round pick in a fantasy draft on someone a little bit more established, I don't necessarily want to say safer, but someone where you can clearly draw that line.
They got a higher floor.
They got a higher floor, and there's data on them. At the NBA level, you can look at what they did the previous year and say, okay, you know what? If this guy moves into a more a substantial role or a safer role or just more minutes, here's the line I can draw from, you know, top 110 to top 60 or top 70. Where with rookies, it's like, well, maybe it works. And that's sort of what you sit on with a lot of these guys. And I know that I'm, you know, we're probably in the minority on this one. Hype is a lot of fun, but it's probably my biggest lesson is don't buy the hype, whether it's rookies or other guys that are just flying up the draft board. They tend to move too far and sort of blow up their value.
So now I want to get into some specifics on these rookies. And I know you're probably rolling your eyes. I can't see your face, but you're definitely rolling your eyes because you just said, hey, look, Bogman, I don't want to take any of these guys. I'm like, okay, but what about this guy? You know, so, but okay. So, and the number one guy, and this is the number one guy on everyone's draft board, at least everything that I've seen as far as rookie drafts and things like that, is Luka Doncic. And he is going to Rick Carlisle, who is normally the I don't want to mess with these stupid rookies guys, but we saw him play DSJ a bunch last year. How do you think that's going to work with Luka and DSJ? And is Luka one of those rare exceptions where you would say, all right, I would think about drafting him? Of course, you probably wouldn't do it where most people are going to make the investment. But is he a guy that if he fell to a certain spot, you would wind up taking him?
Yes. So you hit on the key point, though, in your question, which is, will he ever fall as far as I would want him to fall? And the answer is most likely no. So, you know, looking back at last year and just trying to tie these things together, there isn't a perfect comparison, but I feel like Lonzo Ball had this kind of multifaceted fantasy game that everybody was excited about, and it pushed him so far up the draft board. And Dennis Smith Jr., actually not a great comparison because of their games, but he was a guy that was moving way up the draft board. The thing is, I won't end up with them. It's something that I have to come to terms with, because when I look at a guy like Doncic, I think he is going to have a decent fantasy season. I don't think he's going to be on the outside looking in. You know, he'll be inside the top 100. He might even be inside the top 75 or top 60. Maybe he puts it all together in a rookie year and he's, you know, like a top 50 guy. But I have this feeling, you know, with the name, and you know, ADP is going to give us more information on this stuff as we get a little bit closer to when everybody's having their fantasy drafts. I got a feeling he's going a good two rounds before I would consider him. And that stinks, because it'd be fun to have him. But I've already started talking to myself in that kind of like psychiatric. No, it's okay, Dan. It's okay to feel this way. You're not going to have him. And you just come to terms with that now. You just deal with it ahead of time. And then when it happens, it doesn't upset you so much.
So since we're so early in the process here, and, you know, we haven't seen any preseason stuff, guys are just, I mean, LeBron just took his first, you know, pictures in his new Lakers uniform.
Oh, so, isn't that exciting?
I mean, I they're so, the Photoshop already perfected it, right?
See, did they? I saw that Josh Hart commented that he looked like he was wearing a skirt. That's all I saw from
him. Well, who cares what Josh Hart thinks? Give me a break.
I cares what Josh Hart thinks.
Yeah, of course, the Lakers fan would care what Josh Hart thinks.
In the fantasy world, you guys know I can be very pragmatic, but I am a Lakers fan, so I gotta get in my plugs here.
So let me ask you this. So dynasty drafts are happening now, and a lot of people are taking rookies and things like that. So are you a guy that has these rookie picks when it's just a rookie draft and trades them away for established veterans? Because a lot of people are doing those dynasty drafts, or they're coming up, whatever they are, and they're just taking rookies. Are you a guy that will flip those because you're so not a rookie guy? Or is that the one spot where you're like, finally, It's rookies against rookies. I don't have to compete with taking these guys against veterans. This is finally a spot where I'm able to take some of these guys that I would like to watch their first year.
Yeah, that's I think where you can make that switch. I think it's pretty hard actually to make those trades for established veterans and get good value back because of the hype associated with rookies, but also because of the question marks. People generally don't want to buy at a good price, so that's a good time. I think that's fun. You're able to sort of bank a few years down the line. You know, if something doesn't pan out by December of this season, it's not a lost cause. You can wait on guys a little bit, and that's where things change. Because for me, the reason that I generally avoid rookies is that the first year of their career is often pretty bad, especially the first few months. And you've dug yourself too deep of a hole. But if that's not, you know, if your goal is to win long term, to win every season, if you're making a big push right away, then obviously you can mortgage some things. But if you're trying to build a dynasty team and kind of put the pieces together long term, yeah, absolutely. I give my blessing officially, my my old man blessing. I, you know, whatever it is that an old man would do to give. I drop a Centrum Silver in a fountain and I say, you can draft these young men. It's okay.
Finally. Wow. I feel like this whole segment here has been about me trying to find a way to say that you'll draft a rookie. And I think we finally did it, Dan. We found the way that you'll draft a rookie.
It kind of hurt a little bit. I should have taken that Centrum Silver.
Do you have any of those drafts coming up? Are you when is your first draft?
Not until much closer to the start of the season. I'm in keeper leagues, but I actually have opted out of dynasty leagues right now. The time commitment was just a little bit too much, which I know is sort of lame, right? To be a fantasy expert that's not doing one of the things that he talks about. But full disclosure, that's where I sit on that right now. So my drafts are in October.
I got to be honest with you. That is the most sane thing that I have ever heard from a guy that does basketball, baseball, football, college football. I had a hockey league for a while, and I just had to tell the hockey guys, look, I'm sorry, I can't do it. You know, there's just too many sports.
Yeah, well, you have a better excuse because you have thousands of players banging around in your head. I honestly don't know how you do it.
I mean, to be honest, Dan, sometimes I just absolutely don't do it. But we
you
are
just a name.
I'm just like, especially with the, you know, the hockey guys. I'm like, I can't. Like, I'm gonna have a hard time pronouncing this. There's no way I remember it. But we're gonna hit a break, and we will come right back, and we'll be talking a little bit more rookies, and then some guys that have changed scenery this offseason. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
It's In This League.
No one asked you anything ever, so whomever's name is
In This League.
Why don't you take a letter opener and stick it in your skull?
Hey, welcome back, and everybody, I have a question for you. We're giving away more World Series tickets on FNTSY Sports Radio Network. It's the winner of free DFS baseball contest. The contests are sponsored by DKMS, who are looking for your help in the fight against blood cancer. Dan, who is going to be in that World Series that they're giving away free tickets to?
I had muted my microphone because I thought I was going to get a break there.
No, I'm just telling you that it's not going to be the Dodgers. The Diamondbacks will be in that World Series. I'm calling it here and now, and I've only said it for since January. For many patients, a bone marrow transplant is the best chance for survival. Why 30% of patients can find a matching donor in their family, 70% or nearly 14,000 each year must rely on a benevolent stranger to step up and donate. you can find out how you can help the cause and win 2018 World Series tickets playing free daily fantasy baseball by going to dailyroto.com/DKMS. That's dailyroto.com/DKMS. Your ticket to the World Series and blood cancer patients' ticket to life. So go in and do that and get yourself a World Series ticket. So, I mean, why would the Dodgers go? They're just going to lose again, right?
is that good enough radio? That's a pretty sweet deal. I mean, just play that. It's free. That's awesome. I'd love to go to the World Series, whether or not it's the Dodgers.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, it's World Series is fun. Have you been to World Series games? I've only been to one, but it was amazing.
I have not. I went to the NLCS last year, and that's the deepest playoff game I've ever been in.
I think I've told this story before, but since it sounds like I haven't told it to you before, or even if I have, I love telling the story anyway, I'll just go ahead and fire it up here. I was sitting at a bar and watching the Steelers lose. They lost to the Ravens. I was very upset. And my cousin calls me and he says, hey, call out of work. And I was like, why? And he goes, because I got tickets to game 7 of the World Series. Mm. And I was like, okay. So I call my work. They're like, we're probably going to fire you. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah,
so I'm going to game 7.
Very much worth it. That's awesome.
Yeah. So game 7 of the World Series against the Yankees, widely regarded as one of the best game 7s ever. So I was there. No big deal, everybody. But this is Dan Bespris. We're talking some basketball. You can find him on the Twitter machine at Dan Bespris. We were talking about it in the break there. Usually you have a fun nickname, but just back to plain old Dan Bespris.
Yeah, it's that time of year. It's the Dan Bespris nickname off season, along with the NBA off season. I like to keep my calendar in line with the association. That's That's completely a joke. I actually changed it back to Dan Bespris from Old Man Bespris because it allowed me to make the joke that I took Old Man out of my nickname and I don't feel any younger, much to the delight of the rest of the people in my old man circle, as we've already talked about.
I can't wait to see the new options for this season. It's one of my favorite things.
I don't know that I ever used Creamy Dan, which was one that you guys were pushing pretty hard for last year.
Yeah, that was definitely the Welsh, because I shiver every time I hear that one.
I think it was because I referred to fantasy players of having like a really creamy stat set, right? It actually wasn't dirty to begin with.
No, but I can't. I guess my mind is just too in the gutter. I just can't hear it and be okay with it. So
like a Twinkie. My like a Twinkie.
If you say so. Let's finish up some of these rookies here. It's your favorite, absolute favorite subject. I just had one more question to ask you about these guys, and then we'll get to some guys moving on to some new scenery. But we're usually looking for big men somewhere in drafts because it is a very thin position. A lot of basic setups have two centers instead of just one center and then the forward spot. So this draft seems to have a lot of them. We got DeAndre Ayton. We've got, you know, Bagley, who I'm swearing off of Kings guys this year. I'm not going to do it. My guy Mo Bamba from Texas and WCJ, Wendell Carter Jr. Are these guys rookies that you would draft because of the thin position or because centers, you know, usually take a little bit longer to develop than other positions? Is this just a flat-out avoid everybody for you?
It's pretty close to a flat-out avoid, but not completely there. I think Jaren Jackson Jr. seems like he could bring kind of a unique stat set, and everybody that knows my undying love for defensive stats, and he has the opportunity to do that. My fear with I guess, what do we call him here? Triple J? Because you just can't say the whole name the whole time.
Yeah, Triple J is good. I like that.
I'm a little worried that he and Ayton in particular are going to get pushed up draft boards. They feel like they fit that mold.
Jonas Nader, my God, he's already putting Triple J in the Hall of Fame.
Well, you know, that's hurting all of us because we're hoping he'll fall farther. Come on, Jonas. You got to leave him. So
have some chill, man.
for real, hide it a little bit longer. No, I mean, that's the thing, though. Like, people that know what they're talking about are moving these guys up draft boards. The problem with that is then it sort of becomes this snowball effect where they get pushed up a little. Someone else starts to like them. They get pushed up a little bit more. And then what we've talked about with other rookies is they sort of get moved past the point where they become a value draft, where things would have to basically break perfectly for them to get to the spot where you're drafting them. That's not how you want to pick guys, rookies or otherwise. You want to draft someone that you think can exceed their draft position by a round or two. I do like those guys. I think those two in particular are interesting, but they also scare me the most in terms of draft value. The other dude's a little bit less excited about them. You know, like you said, no kings allowed. That's been the sign hanging outside my treehouse for a year plus. Too much
girls allowed, no kings.
Yeah, absolutely. No homers allowed as well. Mo Bamba, too many centers in Orlando. And then Chicago, I'm kind of a little bit torn. I don't know how badly they're going to want to win games this year. Wendell Carter presumably will be splitting time with, you know, a veteran or semi-veterans, depending on how you classify guys like Robin Lopez and Robert Portis. I call him Robert.
Robert Portis?
Yeah, ever since he punched Nico, I call him Robert.
Oh, man, I forgot. Like, if you guys don't know, and you can check out the Hoopball Fantasy Podcast, Dan is just a complete, he might be a Nico Mirotić stalker.
Oh, without question.
Do you know his home address?
You should see some of the photos I've gotten through his windows. They are disgusting. So, yeah, I mean, I think Chicago's going to want to develop some of the young guys, but I also think they want to show some progress. And to me, that means that opportunity might be a little bit limited. You've also got him stuck behind some chuckers out there in, you know, Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, Jabari Parker, who, you know, when you publicly announce you're not going to play any defense, that means you better do a whole lot on offense.
But shouldn't that mean more rebounds?
Yeah, I mean, offensive rebounding is sort of a weird world. I don't know what the metrics show on Carter. I'll admit that here in terms of, you know, how successful he's been pounding the offensive glass. I just, you know, if you're out there and that's the only thing you're doing and you're running into other sort of rookie year issues, I could see you taking a flyer late in a draft. I just don't see the path as clearly as some of those other guys who, as we just mentioned a moment ago, probably going to get drafted a little bit too soon. But should they fall, Jaren Jackson Jr., DeAndre Ayton, they have the makeup of guys that could impact your fantasy team positively.
Yeah, see, I've already had my mindset that Ayton and Triple J are going to be too high. I feel like I'm not taking Bagley at all. Bamba, I really want, but I don't think he's going to be productive immediately. I just think there's a lot of growing pains that are going to be there for him. So Wendell Carter Jr. has kind of been my guy. So that's kind of the guy that I'm thinking about for this season. And, you know, the further he falls, the happier I am. But we'll have to see when mocks start up and all that stuff. We'll have to get a good ADP to really understand where he's going.
I think he'll fall to you. I haven't seen as much Twitter activity around him.
He was just so big in the summer league. So I'm nervous about some of those dynasty rookie drafts I have. I think I got two coming up at some point here. So that's what I'm worried about more than regular drafts as of now. But I'm hoping that calms down by the time.
I think it will. I think it will.
All right. Let's just get it out of the way here. LeBron to the Lakers. Let's hear Dan's personal love for this move and then fantasy impact for LeBron on this move.
Well, it's awesome because I have some friends who are Lakers season ticket holders. So, you know, I'll be buying them
many beers.
Carbonated beverages as often as they like. From a fantasy perspective, I think a slight step back. You know, LeBron put together a pretty magical season last year, playing in every single ball game.
Three, right?
What's that now?
Didn't he finish three overall?
Yeah, I mean, 9 or 8 cat. He was outstanding. 9 cat, just the sheer volume of games he played allowed him to move up the rankings behind, I think, Anthony Davis and Karl Anthony Towns, I think, were 1 and 2 in 9 cat. And then you wipe out turnovers and he becomes even more impressive. That to me is not going to hold up. by all accounts, this feels like kind of a rest year for LeBron. And I'm sure that he'll still put together an awesome actual season. But the Lakers know they're not winning the championship this year. This is kind of a developmental season. He didn't want them to trade assets to go get a Kawhi Leonard if it was even an opportunity. They're waiting it out. This is LeBron teaching the young guys how to play with him. So to me, this feels like a year where they're going to want guys like Lonzo Ball and even, dare I say, Rajon Rondo setting things up every once in a while. And let LeBron, you know, maybe get out, get a few easy buckets, maybe rest an extra 2 or 3 minutes per ball game. Those little things have a way of adding up that we kind of take it for granted sometimes. So I would actually move LeBron back down where he was probably drafted anyway.
More like a wheel pick, 10 to 9 to 12, somewhere around there.
Exactly. And that's probably where he went last year and people got a massive value. That's probably closer to where he's going to finish this year, which means, unfortunately, he's probably going to get overdrafted and I'm not going to be able to get a Laker on my fantasy team as usual.
Because LeBron's the only one that Dan will take.
Basically, yeah. I mean, I didn't have a no Lakers allowed sign on my treehouse because I love the Lakers. But from a fantasy perspective,
efficiency, right?
They were a rough situation last year, and I don't know that it's going to get a whole lot simpler.
What about the other guy that you mentioned there, Kawhi Leonard, going to the Raptors? Obviously, all the drama in the offseason. You know, he's a crybaby. He doesn't want to talk to anybody. And then someone said he actually did talk to Pop and just flat out told him, I don't want to be there. He felt slighted about his injury and all that drama. But now drama's over. He's in Toronto. What do you think about this move for Kawhi and his fantasy value? Should he ever play again?
I love it. I love, I guess that I'm trying to think of the correct stock terminology, but this is like a depressed asset where Kawhi Leonard has had nothing but negative publicity for a year and a half now. He really didn't play this season. I think 8-9 games, I believe, was the final total. He's hated by fans. He's been hated by media because he doesn't talk to anyone. Toronto's not all that thrilled because Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan have to have a long-term relationship or a long-distance relationship now. Kawhi Leonard, and this is like the let's all try to use our long-term memories here, was amazing 2 years ago. Amazing.
Yeah, he was really good.
He was incredible. You know, he was a guy that just
checked
sort of
every box.
Every box. And in, you know, 65 games, he was still basically inside the top 15. He doesn't need to play all 82 to be a first round guy. When you're that good and first round values are that good, you basically only need to hit the 70 threshold to be a first round value. I think he's going to get drafted in the second round this year. And I think if you've got a little bit of, if you've got the stones, I mean, this is going to be one where you're going to have to swallow it down a little. You could get a first round guy in the mid to late second round. I am all for it. I think he's going to play. I think he wants to show that he's healthy. I think he wants to show that someone should, you know, spend $150 million on him the next season. And Toronto's fun. They got a great environment. They got a good team set up. This is
Drake. Maybe Drake will get him to actually speak.
Or maybe he'll just use Drake as like a megaphone. He can be his PR guy. I don't care how it happens, but I think it's going to happen. And I'm excited. I think I do end up with some Kawhi Leonard shares this season.
So that, I mean, look, I know you're excited about LeBron because LeBron is going to the Lakers. And people are going to say, man, Dan just sounded like he's down on LeBron and he's up on Kawhi. And you know, for fantasy, we can't be gigantic homers. I can't sit here and tell everybody to take Carmelo Anthony. By the way, I'm very upset about that. But I can't tell everybody to sit here and take Carmelo Anthony just because he's on the Rockets, you know, and, you know, don't take. I can't tell everybody to take CP3 with your first round pick. I mean, you might want to if he falls, but the guy has just been so injury prone over his career. But when you look at this, we know LeBron will go ahead of Kawhi in every draft, just about every draft. But to me, it sounds like if I'm reading between the lines of what Dan just told me, you think Kawhi will finish ahead of LeBron at the end of the season. Is that correct?
Yeah, call it a hot take if you like. I think Kawhi Leonard.
I don't think it's a hot take. I get it. I completely understand what you're saying, because in the West with the Lakers, they're not going to beat. I know the Rockets' championship chances went down when they signed Carmelo, but I don't see the Lakers beating the Rockets, and I don't see them beating the Warriors. So, like you said, it's a growing year.
It's a growing year, like I said before, I'm pragmatic when it comes to the fantasy stuff. I would like to see the Lakers win games, but I want to win other people's money more than that. Isn't that like, if you want your team to win more than you want someone else's money, I want to be in your league first and foremost, but I think you're playing this game wrong.
Well, I guess I might be that guy, because I am rooting for my team regardless of what happens with my fantasy teams. Now, there's a problem, because where you have said, look, I got to calm down and I'm going to limit the number of teams. For me, I'm an insane man and I'll wind up having 11, 12 basketball teams. So it's just impossible to keep everybody happy. So let's just please have the Rockets win. But we are going to come back after this break and we are going to talk some more basketball. We got a couple more guys to talk about moving places, and then maybe we'll take a look at the first and second rounds for the season. And ESPN put out a way too early article, but like we said, no one is putting out anything quite yet outside of HoopBall and some stuff on Roto World and Roto Wire. So we will take a look at that when we come back right after these messages.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says...
In this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league.
Oh. Back, we're talking basketball with Dan Vespris. Before we get to that, Fantasy Factor is the only exclusively single-entry DFS site. They have free rolls registering all the time and great promotions for free prizes. Keep a lookout for Fantasy Factor's free $1 million Survivor contest opening a week before NFL kickoff. Go to FantasyFactor.com. That's FantasyFactor.com. So, Dan, there are a couple more guys. Now, we have it on the record here that you said you hate LeBron James and you love Kawhi Leonard. Right?
Are you going to do this to me again, the whole Giannis thing last year? You know how many people think I hate Giannis now?
To be honest, I had forgot about that till you brought it up, but that's because it's not my problem. Why do you hate Giannis? Did we ever figure that out?
I don't hate Giannis, but I do hate you guys.
So we were talking about that last year. And by the way, Dan does not hate Giannis or LeBron. But we a lot of people had Giannis as a number one pick last season, and Dan didn't, because he didn't shoot threes. And guess what? Dan was right, as he usually is in most things. And Giannis wound up, you know, he didn't add the three to his game. He's still a very complete player, but he is missing that from his game. So I did get that right, right? That was the reason?
Yeah, that and, well, to me, it felt like he needed to add either threes or get his free throw percentage up to 80. If one of those two things happened, he could climb into that very selective top three area. But when you have two holes in your
team... Sounds like you still hate him.
I do still hate. I detest Giannis. No, I don't know. I don't see him changing his game because it works. He's awesome. He's, you know, paid theater in NBA. But I without one of those two categories, it's going to be hard to jump into that top three. So he still feels like the world's safest top five pick in fantasy. But top three, I don't know.
All right. So DeMar DeRozan, the other end of that the Kawhi trade to Toronto, DeMar DeRozan going to the Spurs. What do you think about DeMar DeRozan's fit with Pop in San Antonio?
I think his fit's going to be great from a reality standpoint. From a fantasy standpoint, I think you downgrade him by about a round. Toronto was trying to play at a higher pace. The Spurs are notorious for avoiding any kind of running on the basketball court.
My kind of team. No running.
Yeah.
I like
well,
it.
They can be a part of our old man circle. So DeMar DeRozan, slight downgrade just from fewer opportunities.
What about, is there anyone else that, I mean, we got a lot of moves here. Jabari, like you said, no defense, went to the Bulls. DeAndre Jordan to the Mavs, IT3 to Denver. DeMarcus Cousins won't be a factor till probably at least January, but he went to Golden State. Stupid Carmelo in Houston.
By the way, can I jump in and say that's actually how Bogman listed it in the email he sent me before the show? It's important for people to know that you are nothing if not consistent.
I love the Rockets. And when they got Chris Paul, I was like, I mean, okay. Like, Chris Paul is one of those guys that if he's not on your team, you don't like him. You know what I mean? So I've watched him for the Clippers be a whiny baby to the referees for a long time. But now that he's on the Rockets, I'm like, okay, he's my whiny baby now. Like, I get it. Like, he's a very good player. He's a great leader. He almost got us to beat the Warriors. I love that dude. But I can't like Carmelo. He has just always been all about Carmelo, and I can't stand it, man. And he's not willing to come off the bench. Like, if he's willing to come off the bench at some point this season, and maybe it'll have to get to that point. And he's already had problems with D'Antoni. And I know they've already talked and everything, but let's go with that one. Carmelo to the Rockets.
I don't hate it that much. I mean, there's no planet where Carmelo gets anywhere near where he used to be back in the Carmelo heyday. But there is a planet where he's better than last year. And that's kind of what you look for, at least in drafts, is even if it's a tiny value, there is tiny value there. Carmelo should get far better looks at the bucket this season than the incredibly stagnant Thunder offense. You know, D'Antoni's offense is good. He's a genius. And the way that Chris Paul and James Harden run it is fairly genius. So, you know, if Carmelo can stay in his lane, that's the age-old question. We've said that about him. We've said it about Rajon Rondo. If he can stay in his lane, this could actually be an okay fantasy season. Just, you know, like from an efficiency standpoint, because efficiency is a way you can leap 3, 4, 5 rounds pretty fast when you had as bad of an efficiency season as he did last year. So I don't hate it. You know, I'm not spending like any significant draft pick on it. But I think, like you said, a lot of people look at it and they're like, ah, stupid Carmelo. So he'll probably fall to, you know, 120, 130, 140, maybe. Maybe the name gets him higher than that.
Eric Gordon, I'm happy with that.
Yeah,
spot up
exactly.
Three.
Exactly. Top 100 kind of guy. I think that's what we should be hoping for.
So is there anyone else that moved? I mean, a couple other ones. I'll just list them off here. Gortat to the Clippers. The Welsh keep saying Gortat, and now he's got it stuck in my head. I don't know why. Brooke Lopez to Milwaukee, Ariza to Phoenix, Danny Green in that Toronto deal. Is there any one move that we haven't talked about yet that you were just like, man, I really like this guy in this situation?
Well, some of them were just re-signs, actually, names that popped out of guys that were already with the team where maybe some bodies moved out of their way, like a Jeremy Grant, perhaps, in Oklahoma City with Carmelo out of town. He's the next in line to see the bulk of those power forward minutes. You know, maybe we see him step into a larger role. In terms of the names that you listed off, I could even kind of go machine gun style here and say Jabari Parker, not that interested. DeAndre Jordan, I don't punt free throws. Isaiah Thomas should be an interesting value late in the draft. They play fast enough there where they'll create some value for him. Boogie, maybe only if you're in a keeper league where you could potentially get him late, keep him for the following season because this year he is dead. Gortat, you know, he's on the downside of his career. I think Brooke Lopez has a decent season in Milwaukee. He'll probably get underdrafted because of a bad last year with the Lakers. Dennis Schroeder, I didn't like him even when he was in Atlanta. Trevor Ariza, if Trevor Ariza is ever not the number 60 fantasy player, somebody pinch me. Danny Green played with a torn groin. That's all you need to know there. And the Cavs without LeBron was another one that you mentioned. I love, and I chose that word very carefully, the outlook for some of those guys in Cleveland without LeBron.
Oh.
Yes, thank you very much. It had to be done.
You are a dad, so that's a dad joke. That's allowed.
bad joke. So now I'll reholster my weaponry here. I do think Kevin Love actually is going to have a really great year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited about him without LeBron, too. I mean, just there's many guys that will get an opportunity. I think, you know, that may be a rookie that I'm into, too. Colin Sexton with out of Alabama going to the Cavs. I think he could be an exciting guy, too. What about I sent this over to you, and I don't know if you've done your ranks yet. I know the other day you were talking about your schedule analysis that you're going to be coming up on one of your more recent shows. But this was put out by ESPN, and I just wanted to know your take on these first and second round. And I'll just list these guys off real quick. The second round that ESPN had was Draymond Green at 24 going all the way up to 13. It was Draymond, Ben Simmons, Andre Drummond, Rudy Gobert, Kyle Lowry, John Wall, Kemba Walker, Chris Middleton, Chris Paul, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Joel Embiid. And the first round looked like this, and there's some guys that we've already talked about. We know that you're moving down. Jrue Holiday at 12, which is very surprising to me. Damian Lillard at 11, Steph Curry at 10, Victor Oladipo at 9, Nikola Jokic at 8, GA at 7, Cat at 6, Russell Westbrook at 5, Kevin Durant at 4, LeBron James at 3, James Harden at 2, and Anthony Davis at 1. So we know, like, especially in the first round here, you're already moving LeBron down. Is Anthony Davis staying at 1 for you?
Is this, do we know if this is 8 or 9, Cat?
I believe this is 9, Cat.
This is 9, Cat. Okay, so then I disagree with a lot of these. we probably don't have to go through all of those, so I'll pick a handful, and I'll try to. I'm going to be as diplomatic as I can.
I love hearing that. Now, in fairness, this was put out May 22nd. From what I'm gathering here, from what they said. So, to be honest, I don't think it just says roto scoring. I'm not seeing an 8 or 9 Cat, and I don't know what standard on ESPN because I don't play over there.
I've got to think it's 8 if Russell Westbrook is at 5.
Yeah, you're right.
So that makes some of these a little bit less insane, you know, having James Harden and LeBron as high as they are and Westbrook as high as he is. You can explain those away a little bit if turnovers are out of the equation. If this is 9 Cat, to me, Anthony Davis is your runaway number one. What he did last year was unreal.
And it's just about staying healthy for him, right?
Yeah, and I believe he is. You know, I think what we've seen the last season and change now, really 2 years, is that now that the Pelicans feel like they're in position to sort of push a little bit to make some noise as an organization, he's been more than willing to play through the nagging stuff. The fact that
I think this happened because I remember it was a big joke with the Mets had a bunch of stuff happening too. But I feel like New Orleans fired their entire training staff and hired a new one last season.
Oh yeah, I think that may have happened actually. Well, either way, like he still goes to the locker room repeatedly.
Yes, that's true.
He tends to come out now. That's the new Anthony Davis.
He slipped on a mop. Do you remember that? That happened last year. He slipped on a mop.
Yeah, get those mops farther away from the floor.
What are they doing by the players?
What are they doing? Don't you know that Anthony Davis is going to find it if you put a banana peel on the court? I would love to play Super Mario Kart with Anthony Davis because no question, he would hit every banana peel. But he's in 9 Cat. He's your runaway number one. Nobody was even close last year. He's doing things on a basketball court. Anthony Davis in the playoffs was actually one of the coolest things that I can remember seeing in the last decade. Because they just let him guard like a quadrant of the court. They're like, okay, AD, you got this area. You four guys, you just take this little crescent around where Anthony Davis is guarding. Most guys can't do that. So, all right, I'll try to pick on these a little bit less, assuming this is 8 Cat. The thing that jumps out to me is Steph Curry is way low. This has to be a ranking based on the assumption that his ankle stuff is just back permanently.
Yeah.
But he had 5 years between ankle things. Steph Curry is a top three fantasy guy when he's healthy. So if you're putting him at 10, you're assuming he's missing 15 or more games. And I just don't think that's the case. I think that he's annoyed at what happened last year. the last 6 weeks of the season. He missed because JaVale McGee blasted him in the knee. It wasn't his ankle. He could very easily be a guy picked at 10. That's a top three fantasy play. And that's the type of pick that actually can kind of win you a season. The top three guys are amazing.
Yeah, I look at this, I guess, to me, and you know, the Welsh and I have been rolling our eyes at this word, but I feel like this was a lot of recency bias from the end of the season. And the guy that I just have never seen in a first round before was Drew Holiday. What do you think about Drew Holiday for this season coming up? Do you think he is a wheel pick, like a 12 to 15 or a 10 to 15, somewhere in that neighborhood? Because he did have a great season.
He had a fantastic season, but this is way too high. I'm with you guys. And you know what's kind of cool about this particular ranking list is that it gives us a good glimpse of what kind of, you know, I hate to use like sharps versus the public type of thing that's sort of gambling lingo, but this list feels like a very public kind of list where it's like, ooh, Drew Holiday, he was great. Let's put him at 12. That's crazy. Also, Rajon Rondo actually had a lot to do with why Drew Holiday was so successful this year, moving him off ball more. I know they have Elfrid Payton there, but Drew Holiday being able to play off ball a bit more was fantastic. When he was the sole point guard the previous year, his assist to turnover ratio was trash. His passes were slow. There was a lot of stuff that really needed to get fixed. And I thought that Rondo, for all the times I've clowned on him in the past, did a really nice job sort of fitting in and helping Drew play in this new role. But this is exactly what we've talked about. You eliminate any possibility of value there. Like, is there a planet where Drew Holiday could be better than number 12? No, that's the perfect scenario for him, right? If everything goes right, everything goes right. Like Anthony Davis goes down for a stretch. This is where Drew Holiday could get to. You don't draft a guy where the perfect scenario puts them. You draft them, hopefully, a couple rounds back of that. So if things break their way, you got yourself a value pick. So no, that, I mean, that's way too early for a guy like Holiday. 8 or 9 cat. Sorry.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I think the just on name alone, he's not going ahead of Embiid. He's not going ahead of Kawhi Leonard or Chris Paul. You know, probably not. I mean, I know Gobert had a bad year, but center, you know, everyone's looking for centers. And Andre Drummond being up here at 22 with he didn't fix his field goal, his free throw percentage, but he did improve it immensely last season. So is there anyone that listed here in the second round that you just you look at and you say, I don't care, 8 or 9 cat, they're not in this range, not even close. I don't know what these people are thinking.
Let's see here. A second round. I think I would probably look at, this is 8 cat again, so I got to recalibrate myself. Probably Chris Middleton, just because of how many guys there are in Milwaukee. I love Chris Middleton. He could potentially get towards the end of the second round, but going at 17 is another spot where you've just eliminated all of his value. If this is 9 cat, Joel Embiid probably doesn't belong there because he was a turnover machine, but 8 cat, you could make a pretty solid argument for it. Actually, one of the names that jumped out at me was just outside of the second round. Jimmy Butler was listed at 28. It's almost like everybody forgot that he was a first round guy when he was healthy last year. He belongs a lot higher. I would
Drew
love it.
Holiday or Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler.
Boom. See? And that's why we go to Dan. I mean, it is early in the offseason. So I get it. Not everybody's ready for basketball yet. I'm not ready for basketball yet, but
I'm always ready for basketball.
Yeah. And that's why I get Dan on. I'm like, I got to get ready for basketball. I got to get Dan on. I got to get Dan on to prep me for the season, to get me ready. And I want to say thank you for coming on and getting us a little bit ready for our season. But if we want to be even more ready, you can find Dan at Dan Bespris and, plug everything, man. Let's hear it.
Hoopball. What do we got going on over at Hoopball? We got listener leagues firing up these days. So those are sweet. If you want to get involved in those, go to hoop-ball.com. Click on the forums tab. And we'll get you placed. Those are always a ton of fun. We just started a second hoop ball dynasty league, which I am not in. As I said before, I will be watching it, but not participating in it. And Aaron Brewski, this is probably the most fun thing we could plug, is about to come out with his official season in review rankings, where he compares his Brewski 150 from last year to everybody else's rankings that he can find on the internet to try to figure out who beat him, where did he beat them, what we can learn from all 150 of those guys. It's a fantastic learning tool. If at the very least, kind of how different websites handicap things and how you can start to learn how to do it yourself as well. That's going to be coming out pretty soon. That's going to be something I'm looking forward to reading too.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, and we will get you on very, very soon, Dan. Thank you.
Lord Bogman, it's always a pleasure.